Hey guys, this is Jackie with Evocentric. Thank you for tuning in. We have our past guests and hopefully future guests as well, James Walker.
I'm just a nobody.
Shut up. Today we'll be talking about the title is all about perspectives. Basically what we did, I had posed a questionnaire on Instagram, and we will be asking questions that people want to hear from a male and female perspective. I do want to thank everybody for the feedback and the compliments and the praise for the last podcast that I did. It was really hard for me to do because it was just a lot going on and I dealt with a lot of stuff, but it was really an accountability thing for me. And since I've done that, I have been in such a great space, and I just thank God for allowing me to continue to move forward without any issues. So
you got crazy feedback on that. When I saw it, I was like, man, they love some Jackie, boy.
Whatever.
Just saying.
Okay, so we're just gonna go through basically what I did. I went in and picked all of the questions that we had that had to do with male and female, and most of it has to do with relationships, dating, and marriage. And we'll start off from the beginning stages of dating to relationships, and then ending in marriage, and then hopefully everybody can get their questions answered in a way that is conducive for them being able to deal with the situation properly.
Yeah. And okay? Shout out to everybody who had a question, and just keep them coming.
Seriously. Okay, so the first question that we had is, why is it so hard to meet people?
Ooh. All right, so you want to go first or me? Because I got this.
I think you should go first.
All right, so one, for those who find that it's hard to meet somebody, it's only hard because... I got you. It's only hard because... You when you go to the safe place that you go to, let's say you typically like Barnes and Nobles or Books a Millions, you don't talk to anybody. You know, this is your favorite place. Well, you know, maybe that's somebody else's favorite place too. You know, so that's the place you should talk to people versus talking to people at the bar. You know, the places that you frequent, you know, just sporadically. You know, I find that's where my life changed.
Right.
What about you?
So... I don't really do much. Like, I don't really go anywhere. So I don't really meet people often. Mm-hmm. But like before, I would do online dating. I cut online dating out, period. Cause it was just a big old mess. Like, you would meet when you do online dating, you just make yourself open to a lot of things that you probably would never ever, encounter. Yeah. And, it was too much. It was too much. Then you gather so many people at one time. It's like, okay, now I got 10 people who got my number. Right. Now how I'm going to get rid of them.
Even if not number, just my contact. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, boom. So, okay, so what avenue of online dating were you doing? Tinder?
First I did Plenty of Fish. Okay. Plenty of Fish, it was cool. I actually met people on there that I already had known before that I had, maybe whether I used to work with them or I went to school with them, right. We've seen each other a few times. But then as I went, as time started passing, I started having these random people ask me about paying me $150 for sex and all this different crazy stuff that I wasn't really about. So I went from that, and I actually did meet somebody on there, and we dated for about 6 or 7 months. That was the only relationship, I guess, dating/relationship that I had on there. But I went from that to, what was it, Tinder? It was Tinder.
You did Tinder?
Yeah. Tinder was, it's just, I don't know, like that whole like swiping and all that different stuff, it's just... When you have that type of stuff at your disposal, because right. I mean, if you meet somebody on there, you know that they're doing the same thing. So right. You know that you're not the only person that they're talking to either. Right. So it's like you're competing. Like, it's like a competition. And I don't necessarily deem dating as a competition. If you genuinely like me and you feel like I'm something special, I feel like you'll get rid of everything else that would be a distraction for you and I.
Exactly.
But after I did Tinder, then I did the seeking arrangement thing, like where I was like, you know what, screw it. Like, I'm having really bad times with meeting guys, wasting time, wasting gas to meet them. And seeking arrangement is more so like, we both know what we want, we both agree upon it. You reap from it in whatever way it may be. I reap from it in whatever it may be. And we just go from there. Now, that kind of, the only thing is because that most of the time that's very sexual based, because dudes feel like, okay, I'm just looking for a sexual relationship. So you give me this sexual relationship and I give you this money. I wouldn't, first of all, everybody on there ain't got no money.
Really not.
But shut up. Everybody on that got, because I have, and I wasn't looking for money. I just was tired of wasting my time. I wanted something that was more direct.
Gotcha.
And so it didn't have to be sex. It just, you know, we both were not looking for relationships, or we were both just looking for somebody that we can hang out with and not take it any further. Sex may have been brought up in some of those conversations, but it's, for everybody, it's it'll be different based off of what you're looking for. Go ahead.
I gotta ask a question. Like, how do you get to the point, you know, speaking for you,
mm-hmm.
how do you get to the point where you're not looking for a relationship?
They just weren't working out for me. They just weren't working out for me. I've only had three real relationships. Two of those relationships were by the men that I had children with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had one relationship about two years ago with an older gentleman. And it just, none of them did I ever feel like I wanted to marry them. Like, I never thought about it at all. So I just felt like it was a waste of time. And I guess maybe I just have never ran across somebody to make me feel like I want to do that. So. Right. It's just me just buying time or utilizing time just to have company just because. But it was never really any real substance behind it. So I told myself, like, okay, well, you know, you want to hang out with people, but you don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. You don't want to lead nobody on.
Right.
So that was the reason why I seeked out, why I decided to join Seeking Arrangements at that time.
Gotcha.
But when I just saw, like, how, I wouldn't say corrupt, but it was just kind of, you meet men on there, they're married a lot of times. Or they may have an open relationship, or they may want you to be a girlfriend for them and their significant other. It's a bunch of crazy stuff that I didn't really want to open myself up too much because I know the type of person that I am, and I didn't want to expose myself to nothing else. So I just went ahead and just logged off the website.
I got you. I definitely got you.
All right. So the second question is, why are women scared to shoot their shot? In my opinion.
I want to know my damn self.
So I'm trying to think if I've ever shot my shot. I don't think I've ever shooted my shot before, if that's a term. But my dad was old school. So I've always been taught to allow the man to do the leading.
Yeah.
And it just, for me, it makes a woman look desperate. Now, and that might not necessarily be the case.
Mm-hmm.
But it just from somebody watching a female just go and go talk to a man, it's not comfortable for me. And I think doing something like that at the beginning would make a man like more prone to being lazy in the relationship, because you are the person in front.
Right. Or not just make them being lazy, but that only works for guys who are submissive, you know, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I try to be politically correct when I say in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, I think when a guy gets shot at and he falls in line, you have to like be like, hey, look, I like you. I liked how you look, or I liked how you approach me. Mm-hmm. However, going forward in the relationship, I want to either share the lead role or be the lead, you know, because that sets the tone of the relationship. Like, you know, yeah, I saw this fine ass dude in the club and I pull his dude. I pull his ass. You know what I'm saying? So now you the one going to the grocery store. Now you the one cleaning the tub.
Now you the one pumping the gas.
Hey! But that's your role anyway, fellas. Right. Fellas, if you out there, you need to be pumping our gas. You know?
Right. And it and we know that things times have changed, and it's not like, you know, this is the role that a man has to play. Like, it's not set in stone. Exactly. But right. You know, it all depends on how you were raised. If you're trying to approach a man that has been raised to be the one to do the approaching, then you're probably not going to have a lot of luck with him.
Longevity wise, yeah.
Right, right.
Exactly right. No, but that's a good question.
So, somebody asked about one night stands. Now, me myself, I've never had a one night stand. I've had a fling. Mm-hmm. But like where like we talk for like a week or so and whatever. But I've never just met somebody randomly and had sex with them and then bounced.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Have you?
So, you know, you deal with a lot of people who are woke or spiritually conscious. And for me, I'm spiritually conscious enough to know that whenever you sleep with somebody, you're swapping spirits. And that's my biggest fear. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take on a spirit that's not of mine, you know, or not of God's.
Right.
So I don't really do one night stands. Now, of course, if that's your thing and that's all you're equipped for right now, hey, have fun. But as for me, I can't do it, you know. You know, I feel like spiritually transmitted diseases are just as just as big as sexually transmitted
diseases. Yeah. And then a lot of times when people do have one night stands, they're typically intoxicated. So when you're intoxicated, you tend to make unmoralistic decisions.
Right.
So, you know, and then and that's including not wearing a condom when you're having sex. So I couldn't tell you how many men that I've met who have had a one night stand with a woman who they would have never in their life thought about especially having unprotected sex with. And then she ends up pregnant, and then now they have to deal with a whole boatload of bull crap.
Right.
So I would stay away from that. Yeah. Like to me, it's very immature, like, for you to do that, because you don't know that person. So you have to have some type of self-control.
Right.
If you don't have that self-control in that aspect, where you could just be like, nah, I'm good.
Right.
Then, I mean, how are the other aspects of your life looking?
Exactly. That part is out of line, and for sure, you're being driven in other areas of your life as well.
Okay, so who thinks about sex more?
Oh man, I'd have to say women. I'd have to say women.
Okay. Well, I was talking to James earlier, and because I spoke on one of my other podcasts about me used to being addicted to porn.
Yeah, as of last week, I know we prayed that shit out. Jackie is not.
Oh, whatever. Yeah,
no, man. Look, Tuesday, I remember we had a breakthrough. I was like, good, yes.
James, shut up.
Clear your cookies and your cash. Your cachet. Look, go ahead and just delete all that. And delete your browser.
Whatever. No, he lying. He lying. Yeah, I'm in a work in progress. But, but because, you know, I've already exposed myself to that. Sex is especially when you expose yourself to it at a really early age, you don't really know how to decide, you know, how's that look for you? Like, what is that going to look like in the future?
Exactly.
Is this what they're doing? Is that how they really do it?
Right.
And, you know, when your brain sees it, you're like, oh my God, like I know that they're doing something that they're not supposed to be doing. So, especially when nobody's watching, you know what I'm saying? You're going to go and look at it, and it creates, it's like it's something that sits in your head constantly.
Right.
And so, like, even, like, with me, like, going to church, like, I literally have to pray myself out of thinking, or I have to pray myself out of having sexual thoughts, because it seems like it may have become a part of me. Like, I'm a very sexual person.
Right.
And I would hope to share that with somebody who I'm going to be with forever, but it doesn't stop the thoughts. So in order for me to counteract that, I typically try to listen to things that are not as secular, because I love music.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the music that I like tends to have different sexual phrases and connotations and all that different stuff, and it will put my mind in a sexual state.
Right.
And to keep that from happening, I try to feed my mind and eyes with things that are positive, things that are godly, because I know God is okay with me being a sexual individual. Mm-hmm. But he wants me to utilize that in a way that is meant for it to be utilized.
Right. Now, me and Jackie have been, like, real good friends since, like, July of last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want y'all falling her inbox thinking she's a hornball. That's not just because you send her a dick pic or something like that. That's not going to do it. No. First off, she believes in the real connection. So I just wanted to clear that part up.
Thank you. I appreciate
saying?
That.
So don't be, you know, sending her some loose.
Nah, I'm already on a hiatus. If you look on my Instagram, you already, I'm on a hiatus from men. I do not want to date anybody. I'm mm-hmm. not in a space right now to be fully committed to a relationship. I need to work on myself, and I've learned that. It's sad that I've learned this at the age of 33, but better late than never, because I have to start somewhere, and I don't want anybody disturbing my peace, disturbing my spirit, disturbing my heart. I really want to get things right with myself before I put myself out there again. So yeah, do what James said. Just stay away from me, please.
Right.
Okay, so another person had posed a question, asking why, and it was a man. Why do some women want to be treated like queens, but they don't know how to treat a man like a queen? I mean, I'm sorry, like a king.
Mm-hmm. You know, me and Jackie talked about this earlier. You got givers and you got takers, you know, and the takers will be like, well, that you'll know that you're dealing with a taker, because their conversation will be more like, treat me
mm-hmm.
like a queen. And the givers will be like, you know, what do you require?
Mm-hmm.
How can I treat you like, you
right.
know, on both sides, on both mm-hmm. sides of the coin, you know, for women, if your guy is talking about, what do you like? How can I treat you better? How can I make you smile on a daily basis? And fellas, the same way. And fellas, I'm going to talk to you guys more, because I'm one of you. You know, like, we get forgotten. You know, strong black men get forgotten. So, no. In order to give, if you look at, like, one of them old computers, you know, the output is based on what was put into it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I can't give you from an empty account. So you got to teach people how to treat you so that you can continue to treat them properly. And it's going to be a cycle of greatness,
mm-hmm.
you know. So women who constantly, or men who constantly require you to treat them as royalty, they skip the class that says do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's mm-hmm. the big thing. Like, I'm going to show you how to treat me based on how I treat you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I took a couple of months ago, I took Jackie out, you know what I'm saying? And we went to this nice spot, and she has not taken me anywhere. And guess what?
What nice spot?
The spot that we had the shrimp and the stuff and the things and the, what you call it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The beans and the stuff.
The beans?
You remember that you was eating the chips and the dip and stuff?
Oh, you're talking about Maria Gloria's. The Mexican restaurant?
That's what it was?
Yeah, it was Gloria's.
And guess what? She ain't taking me. Guess what? I ain't taking her no place since.
We ain't going to tell everybody why.
Oh.
Prince. Y'all, James had chaps on, y'all. I saw James with some chaps on. All right, but for me, I do think that women will treat a man like a king based off of what she sees in front of her.
Right.
Because I know that there are some men that I don't give a flying fart about, like, right. You know, you can give me whatever you want, but I don't like you like that. You know what I'm saying? Right. But there are a few, very far and few men where I've done, they didn't even have to ask me to do anything. I would ask them to go out on a date. I would pay. I would oil their scalp. I would, cook for them, do all these different things. But it's just the other times when I was talking to the other men, they didn't make me want to do that. So maybe that person is just not for you. I mean, it depends on who you are. Now the person might not want to continue talking to somebody if they feel like they're the one who is putting all the energy out, but they're not receiving anything back. That's just a given. Because, I mean, you don't want to be... All you're going to do is be left drained. Right. And while that person going on about their business, doing their own thing, and now you are looking crazy. Right. So exactly. if you feel that like a woman is not treating you like a king, that doesn't mean that all women...
Right.
Don't treat men like kings. Because I know plenty of women who do a lot of stuff for their men, especially now because women are more able, they're more financially able to do stuff for their men, and it's not an issue. Now, for some people on the outside looking in might say something because the roles may have changed in some way, but they don't mind doing it, and it's not a problem. But, you know, you have to make a woman want to do that. Like, you can't just be a dude who play video games all day long, eating chips, ain't doing no working out at all, eating Popeyes all the time. James.
Yeah, boy, I feel like somebody shooting darts. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
But I mean, it is a give and take. It definitely is a give and take, but...
Yeah, man, chips though. Like when you said chips, I was like, man, that feels.
Nah, man, but I think it just has to do with the person that you're dealing with. Right. It's not like a one-sided thing always. Right. You just have to figure out who that person is, and if that person is not, equipped to treat you in the way that you deserve, then just bounce.
Right. Exactly right.
All right. So, can two people with different religions have a long-term relationship? I thought that was a good one because I've dealt with that before.
Question. That's a very good question.
Have you ever dealt with anybody that that wasn't? Well, first of all, are you? What is your religion?
You know, I've transitioned. I was born a Baptist Christian, went to a non-denominational Christian. Now I'm just Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Would I date somebody who is not a Christian? No. The reason is because my God and the way I serve my God is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So if God, religion, relationship with God is not important to you, then you may answer that question different.
Right.
You know? But if it is, you would want to have a relationship where
y'all can grow together. Because you can't grow, like, especially like if you're too devout spiritual people on two different platforms.
Right.
It'll be very difficult. I dated a guy that was Muslim. Great guy, wonderful, sweet, kind. Treated me better than a lot of people,
right.
And I respected him for that. And I tried because of that simple fact. But we would go to these halal restaurants,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, okay, so the halal restaurants, they pray over the animal before they kill them. Put them in a peaceful state and then they kill them. So, because I guess based off of how they're being killed, that transfers over into your body when you consume it. Which I think is a great idea, but as a Christian and me believing in Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
And them believing that Jesus was just a man,
I never thought about that.
That is a deal breaker for me. I feel like I was cheating on God because I'm like, he like, hold on, you over here praying, you over here consuming something that you know that somebody is praying over and they don't believe in my son. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, because I even talked to my mom about it because she was like, what's the guy's last name? And I told her last night, she was like, is he a Muslim? And I was like, we can talk about that later because my mom and my stepdad, they actually own a church, so they're very religious.
Right.
I wouldn't say I'm super religious. I'm very spiritual. But I don't get too deep into the religion itself. I do believe in God and Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. but it's a very progressive way of thinking concerning that, because I think Christians tend to shun people when I believe that we should all love one another regardless of the fact of, you know, what people believe in and right. All that stuff.
Right.
Let's see. So another one. Okay, so what expectations should you have being in a relationship, and is it unrealistic? I don't think you should have any expectations for anyone. I think you should have expectations for yourself, mm-hmm. which would probably be, you know, it would be the non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. But no matter who you are with, no matter what y'all are doing, you have certain guidelines that you abide by and you stick with. Now, you will meet those people that will make you break those mm-hmm. guidelines based off of how they make you feel. Mm-hmm. But I was listening to T.D. Jakes, and he was just saying you have to learn how to put facts mm-hmm. over feelings mm-hmm. because the devil don't care about how you feel. So why would you let feelings interfere with what your goals are? So I don't it's like, so one of my expectations is to abstain from sex. Mm-hmm. Now, that the only reason I'm pointing that one out, because I think for most people it is for me it's really unrealistic because mm-hmm. I've never experienced that before. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it ain't like I done had sex with everybody I done dated, but I know if I've got anybody who I've gotten serious with, that's been a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be very hard for me to expect a man who has been getting sex from women his whole life to just be like, you know, nah, I'm good. You know, we can hold off on it. But, you know, and then everything is sexualized nowadays. So mm-hmm. it's just, you know, what do you do?
Right. So with the whole abstaining from sex part, you know, it just takes that one thing out. Which in a relationship, you could probably list about 12, 13 things that are important.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, where you go, how you interact with other people, how you interact with each other. With taking the sex part out, it makes you look at the other parts of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. You know? You're more focused right. on them, yeah.
And I like that. I like that idea. Unrealistic for me. But, you know,
uh-huh.
I mean, because after a couple of weeks, I'm just going to be antsy. I'm going to do some silly stuff, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And of course, if I like you, if I'm into you, I'll try as long as I can, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'll never cheat, you know?
You'll just leave if you decide you can't take it no more, or?
Yeah. I'll pick an argument over lima beans, anything. Who the hell burned it? I can't believe you drank less than Kool-Aid.
I'm done.
I can't take this. And then two days later, after I done got some, you know, some sex, I'm coming back like, baby, I wasn't.
Well, you know, my grandma, she actually made my grandpa wait until they got married to have sex.
Really?
But the thing was, I mean, he was screwing other women.
Right.
Like, but he would always come back to her. He would always come back.
Yeah.
So, but I think if you... Because the crazy and sad thing about sex is, especially when it's, because my pastor talked about false intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And with false intimacy, it's like this feeling of love,
mm-hmm.
but it's lust. You know what I'm saying? So when you just let it build up, once you guys decide to do it, it's like you have now gotten that release.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you're like, oh, okay, I'm done now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, so, I mean, could you know?
I forgot his name, but what's your pastor's name?
Pastor Berkeley.
Shout out to Pastor Berkeley. I've been to the church a couple of times, and it was awesome, awesome word. You know, so if you are into Christianity, you should get a chance to visit. What's the name of the church?
It's Fellowship of Faith. It's a very progressive church, extremely.
Yeah.
Like, you don't feel judged or anything like that. It's literally come as you are.
Yeah.
Cool. But, yeah. But they, let's see.
No, I'm totally with that. You know, the whole abstaining, mm-hmm. you know, it just makes you focus on it.
And then, too, and it keeps you, it keeps you aware. You know what I'm saying? Like, once you start having sex with somebody, especially if it's good, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to overlook some things that you probably wouldn't overlook had you held that portion of, you know, off of it. But
yeah, they say love is blind, but lust is blinding as well.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Girl, he's ugly. Well, you know what? Tell you what he ain't.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the expectation for me. I just think that you should have expectations for yourself, but you shouldn't have expectations for an individual, because everybody does things the way that is comfortable for them.
Exactly.
But it's all it always has to be a discussion that needs to be had concerning, you know, what you would like to go on.
Right.
And typically early on, like, you probably don't want to set those, because the thing is that when you set those expectations early on, people tend to let you down. So
every time, every damn time.
Because when you meet somebody, you know, I mean, you would be a fool to think that they don't have anything else going on. So it's really just up to you guys during that time frame to get to know one another, enjoy one another. And if both of you guys deem it to have a monogamous relationship, then you should go for it. But other than that, like, you just kind of have to let people be who they are, because if you don't let them be who they are, then they're going to be who they think that you want them to be until they get comfortable enough to where they don't care anymore as to how you may look at them. So just keep that in mind. All right, so now we're going to move into marriage. I've never been married. I've never been close to being married, but James has.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'll be more of the talker on this one, because he's actually experienced it. I can only tell you what it looks like for me on the outside looking in. Right. Somebody had asked the question, what was it? Can a woman propose to a man? Now, I can answer this one.
Would you propose to a guy?
No.
Really?
No. Because,
it's 2020, Jackie. Like, you wouldn't go and buy a ring and get on one knee?
Nah. Get on one knee? Boy, stop.
I'm just saying, if a woman is going to propose to me,
uh-huh,
she better get down on one knee, and there better be at least one tear.
Well, I mean, yeah, she can choose to do that, but you asking me.
Yeah, you specifically.
I wasn't raised like that. Like, my dad was 60 years old when I was in high school. So we had a very old school way of doing things. And I still, certain things I'm a lot more open about, but it's just certain, it's other things that I just refuse to just be like, okay, I can no longer do that anymore. And proposing is one, even approaching, like, if I'm not going to approach a guy, I'm for sure not going to be proposing to a guy.
Right.
With proposing, it's just like, the thing is that if you allow a woman to propose to you, it kind of feels like maybe you're trying to force him into something. And when it comes to marriage, I don't think it should ever be forced. Now, if y'all discussed it and y'all talked about it, and, you know, and maybe you have asked him roundabout, like, what would you do if I proposed to you? And he was like, oh, you know, I thought that, you know, I think that would be pretty cool or whatever. Then maybe you have the green light.
Right.
But other than that, I think it's a bad start, honestly, because the man might not even want to be married, but because you put him on the spot and he don't want to hurt your feelings or he doesn't want you to leave him, he might just be like, oh, okay, well, let me just go ahead and tell her, yeah.
Right.
And then once you get married, now you're still left with this man who didn't really know if he wanted to get married anyway.
Right.
And then y'all are not following the guidelines in marriage, which is, you know, where where I becomes us and everything needs to be shared. You have to do things with me in mind at all times. Right. It gets really complicated. So I would say no. I'm not proposing to nobody. Like if you, I want to be surprised.
Right.
Cause I'm always, I got kids. I surprise them with all different types.
Yay, look.
I need somebody to surprise me. I'm good on it.
If a woman proposed to me, like if a woman got down, you know, brought me to a nice place, water fountain in the background, nice ring, you know, got down on one knee, mm-hmm. and some stockings or whatever.
Some stockings.
Stockings, whatever. Heels, you know, looking all pretty and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely tell her no. Get your monkey ass up. Right now, you embarrass me in front of this whole Sawgrass, you know?
Not Sawgrass.
I'm just saying, you know? Mm-mm. No, I'm just, so in my opinion, it's, if you want to be married, and it's just my opinion, you know, I support anybody in 2020 who believes I'm going to go out and get the man that I want,
mm-hmm.
you know, but for me, at least give me the idea and I'll carry it the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know,
hey, James, mm-hmm. I'm ready to be married.
Mm-hmm.
James, we've done everything that we can. I love you enough to where I realize I want to die with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just chill. Let me do the rest.
I mean, really, what it is, it's a form of an ultimatum, in my opinion.
Right.
Like either you want to get married, or you don't. And when you, it's like if you got to do all that, then why don't you just go ahead and move on with somebody who would actually make you feel like they would propose to you instead of you feel like you having to take that leap as a woman.
Now flip that. A guy meets you
mm-hmm.
and y'all kick it for a couple of months, years, whatever, and he proposes to you, but the answer is no. Where is the relationship at the point, you know, when you say no, uh-huh. do y'all continue the relationship like, or do you cut it off?
No. I mean, I don't. That doesn't mean that they don't want to get married, period. Now, it's all about verbiage. It's all about communication, the way that you word it, the way that you say things. But if I'm like, you know what, I'm just not really ready to be married yet. I'm still working on myself. I'm still trying to better myself as an individual and do all these different things. And you can do that while you're married.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot easier when you feel more confident about yourself, because when you get, if you're going into a marriage and not being confident and not being fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
now you're becoming too dependent on that other individual.
Right.
I want to be able to be happy for myself and then invite that person into my happiness so we can be happy together. You know what I'm saying? But I think I've done that a lot where I've allowed people to dictate my happiness. And a lot that comes with self-love, number one.
Gotcha.
But I don't think it's the end all if somebody decides to say no. Y'all can still be together. Now it might be a little awkward.
It's definitely awkward.
Especially, you know, if it was done in public or something like that. Because it's just like, dang, like you going to, at least you could have just said yes in front of everybody and then told me no later on.
I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair to say that the right answer is for me to lie to you. You know,
right.
You know,
I believe that.
I shouldn't have to lie to you. No, we're not there yet. You mm-hmm. cute. You know, I like having sex with you or whatever mm-hmm. it is. But no, not right now. You know?
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem with you. I mean, at least the fact that y'all could be adult enough to have that conversation where, because a lot of people are like, you know, he said he didn't want to marry me. I'm done with that nigga. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's.
Right.
He just wasn't ready, and it's okay. That's okay. Like, be grateful that somebody was honest with you instead of putting you in a messed up situation, because marriages take a lot of work.
Yeah.
Take a lot of work.
Yeah,
so.
Daily.
I wouldn't know.
I need to answer my own question. Can a smoker be with a non-smoker?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
I
Okay, it depends on what kind of type of smoking that you're talking about.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so if the person and this is just my opinion.
All right, here we go.
If a person smokes cigarettes, you know, cigarettes have been Like their studies have shown how harmful they are.
Right.
And secondhand smoke is worse than firsthand smoke. Okay. So if a smoker is dating a person that's a non-smoker, it's concerning cigarettes. That's not really fair to that other individual because you're putting them in harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's other forms,
we're talking about that good old Chiba. That's sweet Chiba.
Now, and I'm not saying that I'm condoning it, nor am I saying that I use it, but I don't necessarily think. I think you can that can be resolved. Like if a person now if you're always reeking of weed and all that different stuff, then that might, because it's like you're kind of throwing it in their face. Like you're right. Not even allowing them to be able to enjoy you because you're showing them a part of you that they don't necessarily care for.
Right.
And you should respect them enough to make sure that, you know, you do things in a way that are kind of privately in your own little space, and then, you know, maybe when you see them, you don't necessarily do it. Maybe you do it before you see them, and then you get yourself cleaned up so you don't expose them to that. But I don't, like, my dad was a smoker, and a smoker of cigarettes, and marijuana, but he was a very big cigarette smoker. He smoked Marlboros.
Mm.
The house used
the
to...
Reds.
The red ones.
Them shit stain your shirt.
Now, he wouldn't smoke, like... around the house, he was smoking his room. So as soon as you open up his room, it was like woof. Dumb, like you just got like in it, but it wasn't fair to my mom because secondhand smoke is real. Like it's so bad now. They say that after when you smoke, before you like even hold a baby, that you need to wash your hair because it can cause asthma in the child. Like
really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
Yeah, because it seeps all into the walls, into the couches, and all the different stuff. So yeah, it's smoking is dangerous, period. I think you can work that out depending on how often you do it and how respectful you are when doing it.
Gotcha.
So do you think that marriage does more harm than good?
I think marriage to the wrong person does more harm than good. Marriage is good. Marriage means I found the person I want to be with. I found the person that I can continue on like a daily help me, mm-hmm. you know, as a daily help me, you know, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only harmful for those who are hoes. You know, if you are just naturally a hoe, or if you just built up your whole life to be with various people, and then all of a sudden you want to. A beautiful wedding so you can put it on Instagram, yeah, it's going to eventually do more harm, you know. But if you are truly ready for marriage, you know, meaning, hey, we're going to work at this thing and be great together, then it's only going to be a help.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, because to me, marriage is almost like moving in with somebody that you're dating.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're not ready for it, it's gonna fail miserably.
Yeah, most definitely.
I can say, like, the people downstairs from me, I've literally had about 5 or 6 couples move in and out within maybe like the past 2 years.
Damn.
So I mean, it's a big step.
So y'all don't move under Jackie, y'all. It's a curse. Goddamn curse.
But I mean, I think marriage is a beautiful thing when it is done in the right context, like when it's. When you don't have like a what is it? If you don't have like a goal in mind as to what you want your marriage to look like as both of you are together, then it's not gonna make things worse.
Right.
And if you take that time out to really get to know an individual before you get married, you will know whether you want to marry them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't, and then you get married, then you will see why you didn't want to marry him.
Right.
So that to me would be the only way that marriage will be done. It will be more harm than good in marriage is if you're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Because
that is gonna shed light on all of the bad traits in an individual.
Gotcha.
All right. So somebody asked this question. A young lady did.
A question from a woman. Here we go.
Why do men stay in unhappy marriages?
Oh, there could
be a lot of reasons.
A couple of reasons. Kids, You know.
So okay. So hold on. Wait a minute. Since you've been married before, how long were you married?
We were together 4 years. We were married one.
Okay.
Yeah. She hit me. I was done. Don't put your hands on me. You know. And of course, I do stand up. I'm an actor. I travel. You know. I do all kind of stuff. So at the time, I was 30. So I was very, for lack of a better word, I was conceited. I was very full of myself. You don't hit James Walker. You know what I'm saying? So when she hit me, I was like, ah, you good? You know? And
were you unhappy initially?
I was very unhappy because she was putting the gate around the big thing that was me. Mm-hmm. You know, she wouldn't let me, you know, shine bright like a diamond, like Rihanna would say.
Right.
You know, I couldn't go certain places. I couldn't play certain venues because there was too many women there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm like, I'm good. I'm straight. But I wouldn't leave because, you know, my little man, you know, I wanted him to grow up with both his parents.
Okay. So you think one of the reasons that men stay is like when kids are involved. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
Man, I couldn't tell you how many men that I've met when I was in. Well, boys that I met when I was in high school who told me that that they didn't want to leave their home after they graduated because they knew that their dad was going to divorce their mom once they got out the house.
Yeah.
So that was, and I actually know one in particular who it really affected him in a way to where he has not left that house at all. Because he is afraid that his dad is going to leave his mom and he's going to be responsible for everything.
Damn.
So that I'm sure that, and then divorce is such a timely, it's a consuming thing. It is it can get really nasty. Like, it can bring out the worst in people. And then it could mess up your biz. Like, if you have a business.
Yeah.
If you have a lot of money, all those different things can take it. So I'm pretty sure it's plenty of famous rich people who want to get a divorce, but have just chosen. Now, they probably living their own life.
Yep.
They probably, you know, have got a whole nother girlfriend, got a whole nother boyfriend, whatever. But it's just, it's financially appealing for them to stay with one another. So, and I mean, that could go for women, too. But I think men more so they do it for the kids because right. I didn't when I had my kid I didn't want to be with them no more. I was done. I was like, bye. Like, it wasn't no well, you know, let me just stay, you know, for the kids. I knew that I wasn't happy with them, so I knew that if we got married it was going to put even more pressure on me, which would make me even more unhappy, and the kids would see, and then that would affect them. And I just thought it was more important for them to see their mom living a joyous life than for them to just be living a life of obligation.
Right.
So, but yeah. So this is all the questions that we have, except for this one last one that I didn't mention, but it was a very basic question, and you wouldn't think that somebody would ask, but they did anyway. And so we're going to tap into that, and then that would be the end of this episode. So should a man court a woman he's interested in?
That's the question?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Oh, that's, wow. Okay. Well, my response to that is, hell yeah. And was it, okay. Tell me this. Was it a woman or a man that asked?
It was a woman.
Oh. So whoever asked this question, if you hear us talking about this, I want to talk to you. I'm curious to know what you've been through to make you even question if a person should court somebody that they're into. That's it's only right that you pursue the things that you're into.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, yeah, most definitely. And if you have the type of past that would find you dealing with people who were into you and then they got from you something that they wanted and got the spirit of completion or something like that, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You should like look at your past. Before your next relationship, you should sit down with your glass of wine, your glass of drink, your Bible, or whatever it is you use to meditate and figure out where the hell have I've been going wrong, you know, because you can only control the things that you can control, you know, and if this keeps happening to you, then maybe there's something that you can do differently. But yes, mm-hmm. a man that's into you is going to court you, most definitely.
I believe so too. I would hope, you know, you would hope that if a man is, and I made a statement online, like maybe like about two weeks ago, where I was saying if a guy is interested in you, and when I said interested, I really meant like sexually attracted to you. If he is telling you that he only wants to be friends, that's an opportunist that is not your friend.
Right.
Because if you cannot, if you want to be friends, then that means that you want to hear all the stuff that I talk to my girlfriends about.
Right.
And I'm telling you, a man who want to have sex with you don't want to hear that.
Nope.
So.
Not at all. I'm just saying. I mean, just.
Right. I mean, you're worthy. Like, you're worthy of at least courting me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we need to dead these situationships, these friends with benefits, these fly-by-night things that, you know, whenever I'm feeling like this, let's just go ahead and go for it and we'll deal with the rest later. Right. It's too much confusion because people don't know what dating looks like anymore. Right. Like, but once you gain that self-love and you understand how valuable you are, you will accept only the best for yourself. Right. Other than that, you will dead it. You will leave it alone. You will move on from it. You will not linger, which we tend to do a lot of times. We'll be like, okay, well, maybe if I stay around a little bit longer, you know, he'll come around. But if he is not courting you, and somebody said something about, like, you know, that's why relationships don't last now, because people are so quick to jump into relationships before they become friends. Nobody isn't saying that you guys cannot be friends. You should be friends. It's a necessity for you to be friends. Mm. But you gain that friendship during the courting process. During the courting process. And courting process don't mean having sex. It's, you know, you actually taking the time out to get to know one another on a level that is personal enough to where I can see if I want this to turn into a relationship or leave it alone.
Right.
Other than that, there's really nothing else to it. Like, if you value yourself enough, you will only allow, like my pastor said today, he was like, you ain't gonna answer, like somebody say red. Like, excuse me, sir, that's not my name.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's certain things. We've just gotten so lax in the way that we go about doing things and what we allow. It's just, it makes it hard because other people might be okay with it. But it's hard for you not to be okay with it because that's what they're used to doing.
Right.
And then so now you are now decreasing your dating pool.
Right. Exactly right.
Which is okay because you'd rather have a few people that are actually doing what they're supposed to do than to have a whole bunch of nothing.
Right.
So that was a great question. I thank you for asking that. It's sad that you had to answer it,
right.
But it needed to be discussed because the way that people are doing stuff now is I guess they want to say that, you know, oh, we're free. We're free to do whatever we want. You can be this, you can be that, you can do this, you can do that. And right. It's all good because it's just based off of me. That's fine. You know what I'm saying? But if it don't work for you, then you don't have to accept it.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly right.
So I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I enjoyed this segment with James. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. We would love more feedback. Any feedback that you have or any constructive criticism or anything you would like to add.
Right.
James, do you have anything else to say?
Yes. If y'all don't know, Jackie's mama is beautiful. So, I mean, I just want to throw it out there. And that's where Jackie get it from, y'all. So, boom.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'm just saying, you know.
Oh, my
cute.
God.
You going to take it out? You really going to delete it?
Oh. No, why would I delete
it? I'm just saying. Mm-hmm.
But what did that have anything to do with the podcast?
She's just cute.
You saw her at?
I saw her on Facebook.
Oh, my gosh.
She's pretty.
Anyway, y'all, we thank you for tuning in again. I love y'all. I hope y'all have a great night. Again, give me any feedback. It is all necessary. Continue to tune in to my next episode, and I will holler at you later. Peace.